And good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. We have got a lot to get into on this Friday edition. We are going to be walking through some new polling data from CarolinaJournal.com as they conduct political polls pretty often. It's either every month or every couple of months, looking at a variety of issues across the state. And, you know, top line, before we get into some of the more specific details on this, this is a pretty rough poll for Republicans. The folks over at Carolina Journal held a poll lunch here in Wilmington yesterday. Great to see many of our listeners of not only the Carolina Journal News Hour, but the Nick Craig Show, and kind of walking through this. And overall, does not look very good, at least as of right now, for a variety of issues. So let's just jump right into it. Right off the bat, direction of the country. And this is the question that was asked. Generally speaking, would you say things in the United States are heading in the right direction or wrong direction? So pretty simple question. Only 38.3% of people say that things are heading in the right direction. You compare that to the wrong direction or wrong track, 55.4% say that's the case. And you can see some of the previous polling data, this same question, which Carolina Journal asks in every single poll, both of these numbers are at either all-time highs or all-time lows. I mean, the fact that right direction is now under 40%, and you go back just a couple of months, in August it was 47%, now down to 38%. That was a nine-point decline is a more accurate way to describe it, in the span of just a couple of months. Now, it's important to note, when you look at political polling, it is a snapshot. This poll, just to make sure that we've got all of the accurate data on it, this poll was conducted November 9th through the 10th. So as you look at the 9th through the 10th, that was Sunday and Monday of this week, this past Sunday and Monday earlier this week. So still in the midst of the federal government shutdown, a lot of national attention back and forth on Washington, D.C., Republican versus Democrat. So there is a possibility, and we really won't know until the next poll comes out, which I believe there will be one in the month of December. I think that's what I heard at the poll lunch yesterday. We won't know whether this is an outlier poll or whether this is going to be the norm going forward until next month. But all we do have is that data that we've got right now. And this snapshot, again, snapshot, shows that more individuals think that the country is heading in the wrong direction than in the right direction. Not a great sign for Republicans, as they are the ones essentially holding all of the levers in terms of power of government. They've got the Oval Office, they've got the House, they've got the Senate. But then it's interesting because the next question is followed up with the direction of North Carolina. Generally speaking, would you say things in North Carolina are heading in the right direction or off on the wrong track? And this has similar numbers, which I find to be very interesting. 34, even a lower number, 34% of people say that North Carolina is heading in the right direction, compared to 47.9% who say that the state is heading in the wrong direction as well. So it's interesting because you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., and you could say things are not heading in the right direction. And that's fine. But in North Carolina, and I mentioned this on the Carolina Journal News Hour this morning as I was talking with an interviewing with David Larson from CarolinaJournal.com, things in North Carolina are heading in the right direction. I mean, when you look at the overall state as a whole, number one state for business, 3 out of the last 5 years from CNBC. The corporate tax climate continues to be less and less of a burden, less and less restrictive across North Carolina. That is a good thing. We are seeing that trending in the right direction. That is causing explosive amounts of business growth across the state. So it's interesting when you look at both of these questions, direction of North Carolina, direction of the U.S., that they're seemingly mirror images of each other At the same time, I would argue that at this point, folks are, of course, consuming a lot more media that is nationally centered, that has a national spin on it. And I think with that, they say, okay, I don't think the country's heading in the right direction. Therefore, I don't think North Carolina's heading in the right direction either. I think this number is far more indicative of what people feel about the national level. Even though the question is about North Carolina, I generally think this question is more of an indication that national politics, especially with Trump in the Oval Office, is kind of sucking all of the air, sucking all of the oxygen out of the room, and leading people to generally have a pessimistic outlook on every form of government, regardless of whether Donald Trump is immediately or directly involved or not. So a couple of interesting questions there right off the top. We will skip past the Senate for right now. We'll come back to that. And we'll look at the job approval rating for the chief in Donald Trump. Not great numbers for him in this poll as well. Again, snapshot in the middle of a federal government shutdown. 45.7% of individuals say that they approve of the job that President Donald Trump is doing. 45.7% approve. Meanwhile, 52.8% disapprove. That is the highest disapproval number for Trump in the poll in his second term, and it is the lowest approval number that the president has seen as well. Now running, you know, pretty significantly underwater. This isn't just a couple of points. I mean, you're looking at a margin now of 7 points. That is not insignificant in the grand scheme of things. So this is a number that needs to be watched very closely. Now, could the government shutdown have played a part in this approval rating are dropping by more than 4 percentage points between the months of September and November? Possibly. But unfortunately, until we get new data from Carolina Journal next month, or it'll either be next month or in January, then it's hard to look at this and say, oh, this is an outlier. My gut reaction tells me that this is a little bit of an outlier poll, but I don't have any data or evidence to back that up, and I won't until the next poll comes out. I have that opinion, I have that feeling because of the government shutdown, because of the national attention, but in terms of is this going to continue to be the case, I don't know. We'll find out, however, next month. So Trump's job approval not looking too hot in this poll either. How about the approval rating for Democrat Governor Josh Stein? These numbers are pretty strong for the governor still. 49.5% of voters approve of the job that Josh Stein is doing. His disapproval is at 28.9%. But I'll note, looking at his approval numbers, those are trending downward. Now, it's not maybe hugely significant, but back in March, now he had only been in the governor's mansion a couple of months at that time, but back in March, his approval rating was 55.5%, which regardless of who the political candidate is that you're talking about, a 55% approval rating is very high, is incredibly high. Even, you know, regardless of what party you're affiliated with, people genuinely are unhappy with who's in charge, right? That's just kind of the way that we are. We're always blaming the individuals in charge, whether they have anything to do with it or not. And so a 55% approval rating in March was real rock solid. But as the months have gone on, we've seen that go down. In August and in September, it was at 50.5%. That number has now moved down to 49.5%. So we will see whether the governor can break above that 50% ceiling threshold that he's had over the last couple of months, or as he is in office longer, as he battles back and forth with the legislature, as he battles with the General Assembly, does that approval rating continue to dip? And there is one interesting thing that I will note, and I don't have it in this this presentation here, but I did find it shocking that 24% of Republicans, almost one in four, approve of the job that Governor Josh Stein is doing. That is a very eye-popping number. As you can imagine, in any political polling, when you ask Democrats if they think a Democrat is doing a good job, the overwhelming majority are going to say yes. If you ask Republicans, if Republicans are doing a good job, you'll see the same result, and vice versa. If you ask Republicans if Democrats are doing a good job, the answer is always no. If you ask Democrats if a Republican is doing a good job, same thing. The answer is always no. Or a very, very strong majority say no. The fact that 24% of Republicans approve of the job that Josh Stein is doing shows that he is following a very similar approach to what we saw with former Governor Roy Cooper. Not getting caught up in a bunch of controversy, not getting caught up in a bunch of just ancillary garbage and nonsense. Now, I will say, to the credit of Stein, he is a lot more public than Roy Cooper was. He does a lot more press conferences. He does a lot more news conferences. He tends to be traveling a lot more than Roy Cooper was, especially in his last couple of years in the governor's mansion. So it's not like he's hidden away. I mean, that was one of the things that Roy Cooper and his team did very well. You didn't really see or hear from him a whole hell of a lot. Not to the level of like a Joe Biden in Washington, D.C., but from a purely political standpoint, and let me just break this down. If you're not constantly in the spotlight, if you're not constantly in a position where you're drawing either good or bad attention to you, people genuinely don't come up with an opinion. And that is also seen in this poll, with 21.6% of people saying that they are unsure of the job that the governor is doing. From a purely political standpoint, that is a very good job by the governor and his team. Flying under the radar, not getting in the spotlight, whether it's positive or negative, just kind of hanging out under the radar. 21% of people have no freaking clue whether he's doing a good job or not. And almost 50% say they approve of the job that he is doing. So that's interesting. This is going to be a number to continue to track as we head through as we head through 2026. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but I'm sure when you look at that 24% of Republicans that approve of the job that Stein is doing, I think a lot of that surrounds the fact that Mark Robinson was frankly such a terrible freaking candidate. And a lot of Republicans, whether they will admit it or not, voted for Josh Stein. And so because they voted for him, they believe that they have some vested interest in the governor and they approve of the job that he is doing. So I think that also plays into this as well. The governor race last year in North Carolina was a bloodbath for Republicans, and it absolutely had a down ballot impact on other races. You can look at Dan Bishop in the attorney general race and some other council of state races as well. No question about it, it had an impact. And whether we want to sit here and say we agree with it or not, a lot of Republicans voted for Josh Stein. They were completely turned off by Mark Robinson. Don't shoot the messenger. That's what the data backs up. A great comment coming in our Rumble live chat this morning. You know, these numbers are weird as him talking about Stein and Trump both getting elected at the same time. That I think these numbers back up that point, that while people did support and did want a Republican in the Oval Office, they did not trust Mark Robinson to be the governor in North Carolina. And those numbers, I think, are still reflected in some of these approve and disapproval ratings for Governor Stein. All right, on to the U.S. economy. This is really bad news all across the board. And, you know, this is not new. We've been talking about this now for the last couple of weeks. How do you feel about the U.S. economy? Less than 40%, 39.6, say that they are confident. 58.3 say not confident. And the really outlying number in all of this is 37.9% say that they are not confident at all. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the issue that leads to the Republican demise in Washington, D.C. in 2026. I don't make long-term political predictions because they very rarely pan out, and I don't think they're really worth anything. I feel very confident this morning telling you that if this question, if this public perception on the economy does not change and does not change quickly, this is going to be a very, very bad midterm election for Republicans. You cannot have successes across the country when in a state like North Carolina, which I don't know that I would describe it as a swing state at this point. I mean, it's voted for Trump three times pretty handedly. So I don't know that I'd go swing category, but it's very much a mixed state. Case in point, electing Trump, electing Stein, Republicans leading the General Assembly, a mixed bag on the Council of State, some Republicans, some Democrats. So when you look at these numbers, this is not a good sign for Republicans in the General Assembly. It's not a good sign for a Republican candidate in the Senate race. We'll get into those details here in just a couple of minutes. This is not good. When almost 38% of people say they have no confidence at all in the U.S. economy, that is a problem. That is a big, big time issue. And I read through the tweet from Sean Davis yesterday when he made the point and made the comment that Donald Trump needs to cut out all of this ancillary garbage as it relates to foreign policy and this and that and get back to the economy. I'm going to pull up the tweet and just read just one part of it again. Trump needs to ditch the foreign policy crap and focus all of his attention on the domestic economy, which is still not working for the majority of people. Right now, he looks weak and rudderless. Be mad all you want, but it's the truth. The data in this poll and the data in a lot of other polling backs up this point very accurately. Voters across the country, voters in North Carolina, are not confident about the U.S. economy. But then you go to the next question, which is even more interesting. This is a question about financial situation. In thinking about your own household, how would you rate your current financial situation? 37.4%, that is the plurality in this poll, 37.4% say good, 34.4% say fair, and only 13% say poor, 4% say very poor, and 9.5% say excellent. And so that's very interesting. So people genuinely have the perception that the overall U.S. economy is not doing well, or it's not enough, is not being done. Meanwhile, the overwhelming plurality in this poll, more than 70%, say that their financial situation is either good or fair. So it's kind of an interesting dichotomy. I would have expected that the numbers for poor and very poor in terms of your current financial situation and how you would rate it would have been much higher in this poll, yet it is not. Most people are seemingly just coasting by. And I think this is some level of economic fatigue. You have to go back to 2019 to find a time in which individuals were pretty enthusiastic about the economy. We still have not recovered from COVID-19 in terms of the economic impact and the economic damage. We just haven't. What happened in early and mid-2020 has set the United States back dramatically. And it is hard to argue, and I've even heard Democrats admit this, which you don't hear very often, Trump's economy before COVID arguably was one of the strongest U.S. economies in the history of the U.S. Pretty, if not the strongest, pretty damn close to the top. That was completely blown to pieces by COVID. Whether it was, of course, all of the lockdowns, the insane amount of money that flooded into the economy in terms of federal government stimulus. I mean, there are a whole bunch of issues. And, you know, it's easy to sit here this morning and Monday morning quarterback and say, oh, Trump botched COVID, the economy, he, you know, screwed it up. I'm not going to do that. I don't. Put yourself back in early 2020 with the incredible amount of uncertainty that existed. I'm not going to sit here Monday morning quarterback that. I didn't have the right answers at the time. The president didn't have the right answers at the time. I would argue that nobody had the right answers at the time. So that is an interesting situation to watch unfold as the economy continues to recover. But it's not enough and it's not fast enough. Now, there is another comment coming in on our Rumble live chat. Foreign policy is a huge part of the economy. No question about it. But there are some levels of foreign policy that affect the economy. Others don't. And if I'm just being completely blunt and honest with you, you know, the president getting all pissed off about it, you know, a video that's running at a Canadian airport about free trade and then saying, oh, I'm going to throw an extra 10 or 15 or 20% tariff on Canada because of a video that they published is just stupid. That's not helping the U.S. economy. That amount of foreign policy is not helping the middle class U.S. consumer. And it is obvious based on the data that it is having an impact. And I'm going to take a little bit of a sidetrack here this morning. We don't have time to go through it, unfortunately. We have a little bit of a shorter show this morning. I will be on PBS North Carolina coming up later today. I'll be on their State Lines program talking about this poll in some more detail. But this is a headline, an article that ran over at the New York Times yesterday. Trump administration prepares tariff exemptions in bid to lower food prices. This is what's going on. I believe at this point, and I've mentioned this now for quite some time, that this administration, I believe, is waking up to the reality that tariffs and the economic pressure that is being put on the American consumer by tariffs is not sustainable long term. One of the things that I've always appreciated about Donald Trump, and we'll see if this comes to fruition or not, but one of the things I've always appreciated about Trump, he's a very strong and bold leader. That can be good, that can be bad. But when something is truly not working, which I would argue at this point, the vast majority of the tariff stuff is not working. When it's not working, he and his team are willing to transition. He and his team are willing to pivot. And that, to me, is one of the major differentiating factors in the difference between what is a strong and a weak leader. Weak leaders come up with something, plant their feet in the ground, and that's it. Strong leaders pivot, make change, course correct, and I believe that you're going to start seeing that in the very near term as we head into 2026, because the same data that we're looking at in this Carolina Journal poll, which of course is just focusing on North Carolina, this data, this evidence, these numbers are the case in most other states across the country. The Trump team is looking at this, the administration is looking at this, and understands that they have to provide more relief to the American economy. And I'm sorry, but a $2,000 check is not the solution to the problem. That does not improve people's financial situations. It might give them a little short-term shot in the arm. Maybe you don't stress for 2 or 3, 4 months, but it's not long-term enough to have a long-term impact. And so the financial situation is one that is an interesting number to look at. Holiday spending change. This is interesting. And, again, on the economy, 67.2% say that they're going to spend less on the holidays this year. 14.3% say more. So those numbers are, again, showing and would very much fall in line with some of the other data about the general pessimism that exists within the U.S. economy. And here is here's the question. Here it is. Tariffs on the economy. Do you think that the U.S. imposing tariffs, which are a tax on goods or materials from other countries, helps or hurts the national economy? Pretty simple, run-of-the-mill question. 53.5% say that it hurts, while only 37.7% say that it helps. And to dive into this a little bit deeper, you look at the plurality. There were, essentially 5 or 6 options on this poll. The overwhelming plurality was definitely hurts the economy. 38.2% of individuals said that's the case. 38.2%. So that is where people genuinely are right now on tariffs and the impact on the economy. And I've made this point now for months. While I think a lot of individuals at the beginning, and still some even now, are willing to give Trump, willing to give the administration time to deal with tariffs, to deal with some of these lopsided trade deals that absolutely exist. You're not going to find me sitting here and saying, oh, no, that's not true. I think folks are willing to give a period of time, but they are trying to keep their head above water. They are trying to make sure that they are not slipping into a larger financial hole. And so while they might want some of these tariffs to be used to bring the U.S. in line with some other countries in terms of getting them to the negotiating table on trade, they don't have the, I don't believe they have the current financial wherewithal to do so, because they've been getting hammered now for almost the last 6 years economically. And so that is kind of the issue with the tariffs right off the gate. People are still struggling and they're looking for some level of relief. Here's another question, similar but different, and here's the difference. Do you think that the U.S. imposing tariffs, which are taxes on goods or materials from other countries, helps or hurts your family's financial decision? So the first one was, overall, do you think it helps or hurts? This question is you individually. Does this help you? Does this hurt you? And the numbers are very similar. 55.8% say that it hurts. A plurality, 35.2%, say it definitely hurts, while only 19% say that it helps. So regardless of whether people think it's a good idea or bad idea, they are very much of the mindset that they are dealing with some pain as it relates to tariffs. And I would have to say that they're right where things currently stand right now. And so that is overall some of the major questions as it relates to the economy and tariffs. However, there is, of course, a major political situation that is going to be unfolding in North Carolina as we transition into 2026. That, of course, is going to be the big United States Senate race. So here's the question. If the 2026 midterm elections for U.S. Senate were held today, and you had to make a choice, for whom would you vote for if these were the options? 47.3% said that they would vote for Roy Cooper, former Democrat Governor Roy Cooper. Meanwhile, 38.6% say that they would vote for Michael Whatley, who is the Republican, 38.6 for him. And these numbers have kind of stalled out for Whatley. You can look at in August when this question was first asked, similar numbers, 39.1% said they'd vote for Whatley. That number went up to 41.9 in September, and it is now down, you know, pretty significantly, down a couple of percentage points in November. Now, once again, I will state, a poll is not a running tally, a running average. It is a snapshot of an immediate point in time. And again, that immediate snapshot in time was Sunday into Monday of this week, with the government shut down, with every, you know, 25,000, 30,000 flights being delayed or canceled at major U.S. airports. People generally kind of really, if that affected you, probably pretty pissed off at political individuals. So the question will be, does this trend continue? But there is some, I would say, arguably bad news for Roy Cooper in this poll. Overall, this poll is not good for Republicans. But there is an issue for Roy Cooper that we are now seeing in this poll. His ceiling seemingly is 47%. He was at 47.3% in August, dipped down to 46.1% in September, and is back up to 47.3%. He's hit a wall. He's hit a ceiling at this point. And the question is going to be, as hundreds of millions of dollars are poured into the state of North Carolina for television commercials, radio ads, digital advertising, billboards, mail in your, getting pieces of mail from the postal service, text messages, as messaging comes into North Carolina, I am very confident that 47.3 number will go down. Now, will it go down dramatically? No, probably not. But it will probably tick down a couple of points. And if it does, and he cannot get above 47%, that could be a problem as we get into the general election. This right now is a more than 8-point difference between Cooper and Whatley. That is a significant difference. No question about it whatsoever. You still have 10% of the voting population that says that they are unsure. Whatley's numbers will come up. Cooper's will seemingly kind of level out where they are, or maybe a couple of points, a point or two lower. This is going to be a very close race. The 2026 election, if you are a hardcore political junkie, it's kicked off. if you are your run-of-the-mill voter that does not, of course, you know, listen to a show like this, does not follow politics day in and day out, the 2026 election hasn't started for you yet. It just hasn't. None of the ads have started, nothing like that. And so I saw a lot of folks on social media yesterday saying, see ha, I knew it. Michael Whatley is a terrible candidate. Well, that's why we need Don Brown. So Carolina Journal asked the exact same question, but replaced Michael Whatley with Don Brown, and the numbers are, well, pretty much exactly the same. 48.1% of individuals would vote for Roy Cooper over Don Brown in this poll, and only 38.0%, an even 38%, say that they would vote for Don Brown. So very similar numbers for Cooper in both of these. And yes, similar numbers between Don Brown and Michael Whatley. But this concept, this notion, this idea that Don Brown is the heir apparent to this position, that if he was in the race, he would, you know, run away with it against Roy Cooper. There's no evidence to back that up. The fundraising isn't there. The name ID isn't there. And this polling shows something very similar, that both of these individuals are going to have a tough time against Roy Cooper. I am a conservative. I am a Republican. But I'm not completely oblivious to the facts. And the facts are, Roy Cooper is a very popular, very well-known political icon and political figure in the state of North Carolina. He has spent 40 freaking years in government, whether that's in the legislature, his time in the AG's office, or 8 years as the governor. He is a very well-known quantity. I have made this point for months now privately. I don't know if I've said it here on the show. Anybody, even Tom Tillis, running against Roy Cooper, was going to have a very, very tough election in 2026. It's a midterm election, which never favors the party in charge, which is Republicans. Roy Cooper has almost 100% name ID across the state of North Carolina, unless you literally just moved here last week and you haven't been here for any significant period of time. You know who Roy Cooper is. You know what his name is. He's got very, very strong name ID. And while he was in the governor's mansion, he had very strong approval numbers. And I'm just going back to some polling from last year, Carolina Journal poll. They, I'm pretty sure they asked about approval of Roy Cooper. Let me see if I can find a Roy Cooper approval roll. I guess I will go to October 2024. Yeah, let's take a look at this and see what the former governor's approval rating was at the time. Presidential ballot. Maybe it's not in this poll. I might have to go back maybe another month, so October. Let's go to August and see if that question is in there in the month of, this would have been August of 2024, so ahead of the presidential election. And here is Cooper's approval. Yeah, here. So this is showing his approval from 2021 all the way through August of 2024. I mean, and it was solid. I mean, his approval was, for the most part, always in the mid to upper 40s, similar to what you saw with Stein. It started taking a dip in 2021. Late 2021 into 2022, government shutdowns, things of that nature taking place. But he had historically had a very, very strong approval rating. As I mentioned, very similar to what you're seeing now with Democrat Governor Josh Stein. So I say all of this, and I bring all of this up to lay out the case that regardless of whether you are a Don Brown fan or a Michael Whatley fan, there will be a primary in March. But I can promise you this. If Republicans, and of course they will because they know better, if they infight on this Senate race after the primary takes place and one candidate wins over the other, I can guarantee you 100%, 100% that Roy Cooper will be the next senator from North Carolina. I can promise you that. Regardless of who the candidate is, this is a very, very steep uphill battle for a Republican. It is a very, very complicated contest. And so if Republicans are going to infight, if we're going to have to listen to all of these so-called grassroots activists in North Carolina who have no freaking clue what they're talking about, and if we have to listen to them pontificate on what's going to happen in the election based on all of their extensive political knowledge, and they decide not to vote for Michael Whatley because they don't like him, or vice versa, if the more establishment base says they don't want to support Don Brown, then we will lose. Roy Cooper will be the next senator from North Carolina, and it could, probably not, but it could flip the power of the U.S. Senate. So just keep that in mind as we head into 2026. I will throw a link to this in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can also just head on over to carolinajournal.com. There's a poll tab right at the top of the website there where you can you just click on polls and it'll bring you to the page that's got, just click on the November poll and you can read through some more of the analysis and details. But I'll again throw the link over at patreon.com/Nick Craig, where you can support the show financially, $5, $10 a month. You can also set a custom amount if you are so inclined to do so. Maybe you believe you're getting $10, $15, $20 worth of value every month. You can do that over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Appreciate everybody's financial support over there. And it was great seeing so many of our Patreon backers at the Carolina Journal poll lunch, which took place in Wilmington yesterday. All right, as I mentioned, a shorter show on this Friday morning. I've got to head out to Raleigh. I will be on State Lines. That runs on PBS North Carolina, 8 p.m. Eastern on your television. It's also on the PBS North Carolina YouTube. I'll put the link out on the Nick Craig Show Facebook page and X account coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. I'll be talking about the polling in this. From the Carolina Journal poll, we'll take a look at the government shutdown, some other North Carolina political issues as well. 8:30 p.m. tonight, State Lines, PBS North Carolina. I'll throw the link up on my social media channels. Before we get out of here this morning, I do want to let you know that this show is only made possible thanks to Melissa Gott and her amazing team over at The Law Group. They're right here in Wilmington. And for now, more than 22 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Regardless of the legal situation that you are facing, The Law Group has your back, and they are there for you. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. They're not some big national law firm either. They're located right here in our backyard in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088 or their website, lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call for any legal challenges you might be dealing with, 910-251-6088 or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate Melissa Gott and her team for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. That's going to do it for another busy week. I will be back with you Monday morning, 7 a.m., streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. Have a great weekend. We'll chat with you Monday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.